Welcome to the Haywood County Schools Report. This is Jill Barker, Assistant Superintendent and host for the Haywood County Schools Report. Have Dr. Bill Nolte with me today, and today we're going to be talking about a very interesting subject, and in regards to student speech and how what's protected and what students' rights are. And so, Dr. Nolte, I know you're well versed in this. Do our students have speech rights?
They certainly do. You want to give your quote that you mentioned while we were doing the show prep?
Yes, I do. And school law, over and over, and we heard about this and learned about this, and it, every day when you're in a school, you think about it in the Tinker case. But students do not shed their rights when they enter a schoolhouse door. They do have rights, and it is our job to protect those. So
that's right.
So, tell us about those.
Well, let's just talk about the Tinker case.
It's okay.
It's a federal Supreme Court case. And a long time ago, during the Vietnam War, in the mid-60s, there was a bunch of students who decided that they would protest the war in Des Moines, Iowa. And they all decided they would wear black armbands to school. And that's all they did. They put a black armband on, you know. And they got suspended. And their parents and other people sued the school system and said, you can't suspend my child for wearing a black armband. They didn't do anything to keep you from having school. And the short story is that the students and the families won. And the Supreme Court was very, very clear that students get to have freedom of speech as long as it's not disruptive, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. And in that initial case, it was just a black armband. There are other things today.
So do we have any local examples you could
tell
our listeners about?
We have them every day in every school, and I guess every school across the country does. Students have the right to put a bumper sticker on their car as long as it's not disruptive or against school policy, as long as it doesn't start a fight. They have a right to wear shirts that have an American flag on them, a Mexican flag on them, a Confederate flag on them, a Canadian flag on them. Just having the shirt is not, you know, maybe mom was born in Canada and they want to wear the shirt. They like a professional team from Canada. Students have the right to wear shirts that say, you know, I love Barack Obama,
yeah,
or I love Donald Trump, or I'm a Democrat, or I'm a Republican. The thing that the student believes in and represents in a non-disruptive way is not a problem. And, you know, necklaces with crosses on them or peace signs on them or whatever, students have the right to express the beliefs that they have. You know, if mom and dad let them out the door with that message and the family believes in it, then the student has the right to have that expression.
And I think that's very important, but at times, are there problems? When does it become disruptive? When does this speech turn into something that could be illegal in a school?
Right. Well, the classic example, and I don't want to waste time here, is, and I know this from being a middle school principal, is pink hair, okay?
Okay.
You can have students roll in with pink hair, and they believe in the power of pink, and it's never a problem. They go to class. Everybody knows they wear pink hair. And it's no big deal. Nobody cares. They have class. They learn. The other kids around them learn. The teacher teaches. You can have the same pink hair on a different student, and it's very, very disruptive. So the disruption, not the speech in and of itself, unless it's illegal speech, is the problem. You may have another student with pink hair, and they come in, and all they want to do is stand up in the middle of class and jump up and down and encourage everybody else to have pink hair and bring dye to school and help other kids dye their hair in the bathroom. So disruption. Another classic example is you can have a flag at a football game, but if it's on a pole and you're waving it and the people behind you want to see the game, then that is disruptive speech. Okay?
Yes.
So it's the disruption. I guess the classic example that I want to mention of disruptive speech is, you know, students decide that on a certain time, on next Thursday, they're all going to get up and walk outside and protest as a way of speech, or maybe sit down in the hallways. That's disruptive. You can't have school. And at that point, it doesn't really matter if they're protesting for guns or against guns. You know, for a certain political party or against a certain political party. It doesn't matter. The problem is the disruptive nature of the speech.
Right. So within, you know, in Haywood County, I know being principals, just tell us a little bit about any other kind of situation that you've seen where it's been resolved in a peaceful manner or there as in regards to speech.
Right. Well, I as a principal, yes, and you've been a high school principal, there are examples every single day. And most of the time, what you do is you try, as soon as there a small disruption occurs, you go to a student and you go, you've been saying this, or you're wearing this on your shirt, and I've had three people come to the office, and they're really angry, and I'm trying to prevent a fight here.
Right.
And you get with that student and their parents and maybe some of the other students, and you figure out a way to remove the disruptive part of the speech, okay? And sometimes that's not popular because what the community does is it focuses on what you're asking the student not to say anymore or what you're asking the student to take off. You made my baby take off this particular shirt because there was a pushing and shoving match over the shirt, but so-and-so gets to wear their shirt. Well, the problem is the disruption. It's not what the student believes, and we don't get to make people believe a certain thing. Their beliefs come from, and what you and I talked about,
yes,
that in doing the show prep, their beliefs come from their family and what their family believes. And so you try to address those things, you know, as they come up and in a very calm way. The big thing for us is just to have policies and practices in place that prevent as many disruptions as we can. You know, we try to avoid protest. It doesn't matter which political party, which angle, which group. We just don't want to protest because it disrupts school, and regardless of the particular message.
And thank you for that. And I do appreciate you talking about, you know, student values and continuing to protect those constitutional rights,
yeah,
of our kids.
Yeah, let me say one other thing.
Okay.
I don't want people to confuse this with what's going on with monuments that different government agencies, the federal government or the state government or a county, has put a particular monument up on their courthouse lawn or anything like that. That's money that taxpayers have given to whatever government agency is, and then the government agency put up the statue. And what happens with that particular statue is really determined by the people who live there and pay the taxes and bought the statue. Okay,
right.
That's very different than students. You know, students are just entitled, like me and you and everyone else, to, you know, I have a shirt that says For Haywood. That's something that our church is doing, and that's free speech. And if a student wanted to wear that, that was fine. And really, no one would have the right to make that student take that shirt off, or a I Love Obama or I Love Trump shirt off.
Yes.
Unless there was a clear and substantial disruption to school operating.
Well, thank you, Dr. Nolte, for addressing student speech rights. It's always a topic in Haywood County Schools, and you are very helpful today in discussing that with all your knowledge. So thank you again and for being our guest on the Haywood County Schools Report, and I appreciate all of our listeners out there. Have a great day, Haywood County.